as a species, and by that I mean the human race, we're very good at dividing people into groups and categorizing them. In the United Kingdom, we used to have what was called the class system. Some of you may remember this sketch with John Cleese and the two Ronnies, the class system, upper class, middle class, and working class. And while some people, even today, will wear their historic class designation with pride, amphi, working class, or whatever, it was really a way of separating the haves from the have-nots and dividing up society. And you may think that we have, in the 21st century, successfully moved away from such primitive and degrading ways of categorizing people, but I'm afraid that our ability to split people into groups is alive and well. One of the worst examples of the categorization of society is something called the caste system, which exists in India. And the reason that this is one of the worst examples is because the caste system is not just ideological, it is actually built into the very fabric of Indian politics. The following explanation is taken from the website dalit.co.uk. They explain that the caste system embodies a belief that men and women are not made equal, and that by birth your caste determines your opportunities and future. Hinduism states that the four castes originated from the four body parts of the god Brahma. Far beneath the Sudras, who are the bottom of the pyramid, are the untouchables, or the Dalits, who were rejects from the social order altogether, being not made by God. And this website goes on to explain more about what the untouchables or the Dalits experience. They say for over 3,000 years, the Dalits or untouchables have been positioned at the bottom of India's society and are subject to the most aggressive and dehumanizing abuse. They are born into a culture that devalues them from birth, with society considering them lower than animals. The term Dalit literally translates to downtrodden or oppressed. There are 250 million Dalits who are exposed to this injustice. It is not uncommon for the Dalit people to experience things like going to, as many of us take for granted, going to a shop to buy a drink. Maybe you, like me, you like your coffee, so you'd go to a coffee shop and ask for a cup of coffee. Now, any of us would get a porcelain mug. The Dalit people are given clay pots to drink from, which are then destroyed after use. Such is the belief that these people are so unclean, so untouchable, that people don't even want to wash their dishes. They would rather destroy the implements that these people use. And there is a reason why amongst these downtrodden and oppressed people, the message of the gospel has such a powerful effect, because the gospel says God loves you and God values you and God views you as equal because you are made in his image along with the rest of humanity. I share this with you this morning, firstly, to highlight something which is a legitimate injustice in our world. And if you want to find out more, I would encourage you to go to that website, dalit.co.uk, if you're online, as they say. It's a concerning situation, and it's something that we in the church should be concerned about, because we work to see our world become a more just place. But I also share this with you to try in some way to articulate and express the way that the shepherds were viewed in the time of Jesus. In this series, we are exploring what I have kind of dubbed the gritty realism of the Christmas story, trying to get away from the picturesque nativity scenes and think, what was it really like for the people involved? Last week, we thought about Mary and Joseph, and this week, it's the shepherds. Now, we may think that the shepherds were this sort of merry bunch of lads who were out in the fields working with the sheep. We think that because we think of the cute children with the tea towels wrapped around their heads, and that's the image we have, but the reality was so, so different. The shepherds were hard working. Indeed, from our Bible reading today, they were doing the night shift. They were up all night looking after the sheep. They were a hard working group of men, and this was not an easy task. It was a difficult physical job, shepherding sheep. Not only were they hard working, but they were worked hard. They were worked hard. The reason that they were up all night looking after the sheep was because their livelihood depended upon protecting the sheep. As I said to the young folks, sheep were a valuable commodity. These men were tasked and paid a pittance. Granted, it was a small amount, but they were paid a pittance to look after these sheep. And if any of the sheep were killed or were stolen, the owner of the sheep would have lost so much revenue from those sheep that it would be deducted from the shepherds. In fact, they would probably be out of a job. And so, being very aware of this, the shepherds, they stay up, they look after the sheep, they risk their own lives at times to protect the sheep. It would actually be better for the other shepherds if one of their own was killed by a wolf than one of the sheep was killed. That's the reality. And shepherds were, because of the nature of their work, it was smelly, it was dirty, it was dealing with animals. They were held in the lowest rung of the social ladder. In fact, one commentary I read said that they were despised as much as tax collectors. Now, we know how much the tax collectors were despised in Jesus' time. We have several stories in the Gospels of how much people hated tax collectors. But the one thing that the tax collectors had in their favor was at least they were rich. At least they had money. So although you maybe despise the tax collector, it would maybe benefit you to be his pal. It would benefit you to be invited to the tax collector's parties. It would benefit you to maybe, you know, slip the tax collector a couple of extra denarii just so that he'd look the other way for something else. The shepherds, they didn't have that. They were poor. And so when it came to despising shepherds, the people just, they did totally despise them. They had nothing going in their favor whatsoever. And all this contributed to the view that the shepherds, they were unclean. They were undesirable company. They did a necessary job, but they were not the kind of people that you would invite into your own home. They truly were the least in society. And yet they were the first that God invited to meet him in human form. God speaks to the shepherds through an angel, tells them of the birth of the Messiah, and then a whole company of angels appears, and you saw the reaction of the shepherds in the video, this blinding light, the fear, the surprise, the shock. And as much as I like these videos that tell the story in a more modern way, there is no possible manner in which we can comprehend what the shepherds saw when presented with a company of heaven's angels. And they went and they found Christ born of Mary. They found it just as the shepherds had told them. And their reaction was incredible. They left and they would tell anybody that would listen to them. So often that is the case with us. When we have a true encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to go and tell other people. The shepherds had that experience, and Christ was only an infant, literally born. And yet such a profound impact he had on them, they had to go and tell others. They praised and they glorified God as well. It was clearly important to the shepherds that God had told them that this had happened. They went and they found out that God had told them the truth. And so they praised and they glorified God. The truth of the Christian faith is hugely important. Now, how we arrive at our understanding of truth and Christian truth, it differs. Some people, if they had been confronted with those angels and the angel said the Messiah has been born in Bethlehem, some people may be content to say, well, if God has said it, it must be true. Others may need to put that to the test in a way. Not testing God, but just wanting to make sure for themselves that the truth that God has communicated matches up with the reality in which we all live. That was what the shepherds did. God's message was the Messiah has been born. They went and they checked it out. And because it was God, they were not left disappointed. They found it to be true. But however we approach our faith, however we discover the truth of the Christian faith, we're all left in the same place. And that is that once we discover that truth, we are moved to give glory and praise to God and to thank him for what he has done. But in all of this, there is the key question that has been on the screens. Why did God invite the shepherds to be the first to meet him in human form? Why shepherds? Why shepherds? Well, firstly, I think because God wanted to make it clear that Jesus is for all people. God did not invite the elites. God did not invite the Roman governor. He did not invite King Herod. He did not invite the chief priests. He did not invite the local town magistrate. He didn't invite the innkeeper. He invited the shepherds. He invited the people that no one else would have invited. He invited the people that everyone else despised. He invited the people that everyone else wrote off as unclean and undeserving of company or charity. God invited the shepherds to show that everyone is welcome to meet Christ. Everyone is welcome to come and to meet our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you are the emperor in Rome or the governor of a region, whether you are a politician, whether you're a street sweeper, you are welcome to come and to meet Jesus Christ. He invited the shepherds to make that clear. All are welcome to come and to meet Jesus Christ. I think he also did it to make clear that he cares for those who are at the bottom of society. One of the themes that runs throughout Scripture from its start to finish is God's favor to those who are oppressed, God's favor to those who are downtrodden, God's favor to those who do not have anything. One of my favorite examples of this comes from Leviticus chapter 23. The Lord commands his people, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. God gave that command to his people because he wanted to ensure that those that had nothing would somehow be able to get something. And I use this example because in today's society, none of us own fields. None of us have fields for which we don't harvest the edges so that the poor can come and collect something. But instead, what we can infer from this command is that God wants us to set something aside from our own income and our own personal wealth in order that we can give to those who do not have what we do. And so again, in inviting the shepherds, the poorest and the lowest in society, God is showing that he actually genuinely, seriously cares about them. He cares. about the poor and the oppressed. He cares. But God doesn't just care. He actually wants to see something done. And so the third reason I think that he invited the shepherds to be the first to meet Jesus is because he wants to make clear his desire to see justice done in our world. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, that the first will be last, and the last will be first. This situation with the shepherds captures that teaching of Christ oh so perfectly. The shepherds were the last in society. They were the bottom rung of the social ladder. They were only slightly better than slaves. They were slightly worse than tax collectors. They would have been at the back of every queue, the last that anybody would have considered, and yet God says the last shall be first. They were the first invited to see Christ. They were the first allowed into the presence of God incarnate, God in human form. And this captures for us the way that God is working to do justice in our world and to ensure that those whom he loves, that the bottom of society, those whom he cares for, the poor and the oppressed, he is saying to them in this story, I will ensure that justice is done for you. If I can invite shepherds to come and to meet me in human form, then I can do justice for you too. And that is what I aimed at in this. By inviting the shepherds first, I was doing something to bring justice to their situation. I was doing something to right the wrongs that they had experienced. I was doing something to show that these men were far from the write-offs, the people that could be ignored. Far from that, I'm showing you that by inviting them first, they matter, they are important, and I care for them. These three things, I think, present us with a real challenge today. Because within the church, we are called to reflect the reality of God to our world. We are called to reflect who he is. And so as we look at these three things that God did for the shepherds, we legitimately have to ask ourselves, do we make clear that Jesus is for all people? That Jesus is for all. Everyone is welcome to come and to meet Jesus Christ. Another one of my favorite verses in 1 Timothy is the verse that God desires all people to come to a knowledge of salvation. In that verse, there's an acknowledgement that not everybody will, but at least God desires that all people will come. Do we reflect that desire? That everyone is welcome to come and to meet God through Christ? Do we offer the kind of help and care that God expects us to offer? This is something I find very challenging, very difficult. And I've thought about this, and I confess I don't have the answer. And it's a question of, as a Christian, never mind as a minister, never mind anything else, but simply as a follower of Jesus, how far do I need to go when I walk past someone who's homeless? How far do I go with someone who is clearly struggling as they walk up and down the street? How far do I go to provide help and support for them? Where is the line between being genuinely helpful and being meddlesome or voyeuristic or just wanting to have a nosy? I don't know. I don't know where that line is. I don't know. I know that on some occasions I've bought sandwiches for homeless people. Sometimes there's a chap that sits outside Greg's, and if I happen to be being a little bit naughty that day and I'm buying myself a Greg's, I'll maybe pick him up something. we have to ask ourselves, what kind of care and help does God offer, expect us to offer to those who are at the bottom of society? Is it sufficient for us to give the gifts that we've given to Glasgow City Mission, Lodging House Mission, and say, well, that's us done our bit? In some ways, I think, yes, that is us doing our bit, because these organizations are specifically tasked with and have people trained in helping, properly helping and supporting those who are the lowest of society. But what about the more difficult thing when you're walking down the street and you see someone who's having a hard time? That's harder to know where the line is. And as I say, I don't know the answers. In my heart, I'll tell you, in my heart, I would love to be involved in every single situation that I see. I would love to speak to homeless people and spend time with them and so on. That's my heart, but my head says you've got an appointment in 20 minutes, or your train leaves in half an hour, or you've got a thing in your diary that you really cannot miss today. That's the conflict for me between my heart that wants to help and my head that says, come on, you've got things to do. That's my personal conflict. I share it with you because maybe you experience that too. And I haven't figured it out yet. And if you have, let me know. And when I figure it out, I'll let you know. Do we work to make our world a fairer place, a more just place? I want to share with you a conversation that I had with the chaplains at Kings Park High School this week. We were involved in the Kings Park Equality and Diversity Day. And basically, there were lots of different groups that were invited to come and essentially allow the kids to ask us questions. Like, who are you? What do you believe? What does your organization do? So on and so forth. And we got talking about this idea of equality. Because it's very big in our society at the moment that we are working for equality. And that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. Yes, all equal. Wonderful. But the surprising reality is that equality can lead to an unequal society. If we aim at equality, we are not equal. And you see that in the image on the left. All three of those men are equal. They each have a box to stand on. And the tall man and the middle height man can see, but the smallest cannot. But you cannot deny that that is equality. Rather, I think that our society, and certainly in the church who believe in a God of justice, we should aim for the picture on the right. Because those men are not equal. Because the tall man doesn't have a box to stand on, and the small man does. He's got two, in fact. But I'm sure you'll agree that those three men who have experienced justice are far more equal than the three men who have experienced equality. Justice is what God is interested in. Justice is what we should be interested in. Justice is what we look for in our society. That was our conversation as chaplains, and I share that with you. God works for justice, and so should we. Why does it matter that we do these things, work for justice and show kindness and care to others and make clear that all people are for Jesus? Why does it matter? Well, I'll share this quote with you. The oppressed of Jesus' day never doubted that bringing good news to the poor was a central part of his mission. All they had to do was look at what he said and did. But when today's poor look at the church, they have strong reasons to doubt that we are very serious about following Jesus' example. Unless prosperous believers match God's concern for the poor, our testimony as his people will lack credibility and power. The poor of this world today need Jesus. They need to see that God, who sent his Son to die for their sins, cares about their poverty, hates injustice, and invites them to become co-workers in his kingdom. Many of those who are despised, trampled, and famished will only see Jesus if we're willing to meet their physical needs. That's from Ronald Snyder, God's Heart for the Oppressed. And that is why we need to work for justice and show kindness and offer help to those who are at the bottom of society, because it is in doing those things that they see our Lord Jesus Christ working through us. The final thing I will say today is, when should the church do these things? When should the church tell people about Jesus? When should we work to support the lowest in society? When should we work for justice? Well, I've said this a couple of times, that we know that at Christmas time our world softens to the Christian message. We know that. And we know that we can probably get away with saying more about the Christian faith in December than we can at any other time in the year. And so that means that churches will tend to do the majority of this kind of work, justice, reaching out, telling others. They do it at Christmas time. But Christ is not just for Christmas. You know this. You know that your faith in Jesus Christ is not just for this time of the year. You know that your faith in Jesus Christ affects every aspect of who you are all of the time. And so if Christ is not just for Christmas, then our work as Christians and as a church cannot just be for Christmas. We need to be willing and able to reach out, to reflect God's work for justice. We need to do that all year round. And yes, there will be times when it's easier, and yes, there will be times when it is harder. But the call of God is to do all these things all of the time, because his Son, Jesus Christ, is for us all of the time. The shepherds were on the lowest rung of their society. And as we encounter them in the Christian story, we should remember the hardship and the difficulty they faced in life. This was not a happy band of men lounging happily amongst some sheep. They were hard-worked, low-paid, generally despised by their fellows, and in many ways they were held in worse esteem than even the tax collectors. Yet they were the first whom God invited to meet him in human form. They were called by angels, and they came and met the Christ child. They responded with praise and worship, telling others about what they had seen. God purposefully invited the least to be first to meet him. He was showing his love and care for the oppressed, his desire for justice, and above all, making clear that Jesus is for everyone. And we are challenged today to do the same as God, to show love and care for the oppressed, to desire and work for justice, and to share the gospel with all people, making clear that Christ is for them. We're called to do this not just at Christmas, but all year round, in the hope that others will encounter Christ as the shepherds did and be moved to worship him for who he is, God with us. Amen.